Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter number 12. Again, we welcome each and every one of you out to the service this morning. Acts chapter 12. And we have just one verse here for our scripture reading, verse 25. Acts 12, verse number 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Well, it's a joy to have our friends with us, and they are friends of the testimony, have been so for a long time, for many years. And it's a real joy in the Lord to have Brother Pastor Rick Searles with us here this morning, and looking forward to hearing more what God is doing in their lives and the lives of others in another part of the world. Brother, Lord bless you.
Hey, good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. Pastor Scott told me that I can take all the time I want. And I'm glad he said that, because I can't see the clock on the back wall. Can't see that far anymore. So it won't be a hindrance to us this morning as we look into God's Word. Last month, my wife and I did some traveling. We were gone about a month. We live in Greenville, South Carolina. We moved down there from Ohio. When I left Ohio, I left my snow shovel, I thought, in Ohio. I didn't want to use it anymore. I didn't want to see it anymore. Well, last month, we traveled up through Kentucky to see our son and grandchildren, and then on into Ohio to see my mother-in-law. Then we went on up to Michigan. And while we were up there, that's the coldest winter, and I think the most snow they've had in 1 month while we were there. We saw temperatures way below 17 below zero. And I tried to get out of town, couldn't get out of town fast enough. And so it's good. When we came in here yesterday, we kind of rolled down our windows a little bit and enjoyed your warm air down here yesterday. And so we're enjoying your climate. It might be cold to you, I understand that. But to us, it feels very good. Good to see Pastor Thomas. Last time I saw him, he was in the horizontal position. It's good to see him now upright, perpendicular, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit and serving in the Spirit. So it's good to see him again this morning. So it's a privilege to be with you this morning. So let's take our Bibles and let's go to Acts chapter 12. Look at this verse that Pastor Scott read earlier. I've entitled the message this morning, To the Work. To the Work. A lot of good things are happening on the island of Palawan, especially in the southern part where we serve the Lord. We started back there 34 years ago. It's hard to believe that time has passed by that quickly, but 34 years ago we went there as a missionary jungle pilot, and then had a plane crash, and then went back to the island in 82 and started Brooks Point Bible Church. And since then, that's been 31 years since we did that, and the Lord is just abundantly blessed in the work there in Brooks Point, and also in other outreaches that we're starting. And what we're excited about and what you'd like for you to pray about, we, after 31 years of praying for a Muslim town called Batarasa, it's a very dark place. And every time I would go to Sarong or Muslim work down south, I'd have to pass through the town of Batarasa. And every time I did, the hair on the back of my neck would just stand up. It's just so dark, so ungodly. And it's just full of Muslims that just anti-God. And we've tried for 31 years to start a work in that town. And God miraculously worked the last time we were there on the island last October to observe the 31st anniversary of Brooks Point Bible Church. Miraculously worked. And now we, Pastor Joe Malakow, will be starting a Bible study in that town. They've already won one family to Christ. And so doors are opening that to us now that were never opened to us before. And it's taken a long time, but what's time to God? He had some things he had to do, preparatory things that we did not understand, didn't know, but God was at work. And we're thankful for it. Now the door is opening for us to go into that ungodly town and present the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for Pastor Malakow and his wife Faye. The adversary is going to be against them. Do everything they can, health-wise, financially, spiritually, whatever they can do to hinder the gospel from going into that place, they're going to face it. And so they covet your prayers as they go into that town. We'll see more of that this evening. Trust you'll be back as we'll take a little trip to Southern Palau again and bring you a good DVD update on what's going on there on the island. Well, here in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, as the pastor read, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had what? Fulfilled their ministry." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the ministry that you've given to each of us. Some you've called into the ministry, but Father, you've called all of us to be servants, to be faithful witnesses to thee, here at home or abroad, where it would be that you send us. So Father, wherever it would be, might we fulfill that ministry that you've given to us, as Paul did. Now, Father, just bless our time in your word this morning. For ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. You know, a man made a statement one time. He said, when we think about the Lord's work, he said, "There's a lot to be done, and there's no end in sight." And if you're involved in the Lord's ministry, serving the Lord, I think you'll find that statement to be true. No matter how far we advance the gospel, no matter how much we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, there's always more, isn't there? There's no end in sight. And I'm thankful for that. That when it comes to the Word of God and understanding it, every day I can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and understand Him a little more that I, in a way that I never understood Him yesterday. But as we think about the work, there's no end in sight. As we think about Southern Plow and as the Lord is pushing us further on that very remote and very unevangelized area there in Southern Palawan, you know, there is a Northern Palawan, in case you're wondering. But we work in Southern Palawan. As I said, it is a very unevangelized area. When the Lord just keeps pushing us further and further, which is our goal, our prayer, that someday we'll see Southern Palawan evangelized with the gospel. I was telling the pastor yesterday, there's some areas I don't have any idea how we will get into them. They live so far off of the beaten trail that to get to them and take your supplies with you, your food, your water, and different things that you're going to need to take a 2 or 3 or 4 day hike just to reach to them, it's very, very hard, very, very difficult to carry that amount of equipment and tools and stuff with you to sustain yourself while you're trying to get in there and preach the gospel to them. But you know, all that belongs to the Lord. We're just going to stay faithful. We're going to stay in the work, doing the work, and we'll let the Lord work out all the details. And we'll just be faithful in following Him as He does that. And you know, our pastor in Greenville, he made a statement also. He said, "Every generation born is born in ignorance to the Word of God." That's true, isn't it? I didn't know anything about the Word of God when I was born, nor when I was growing up. Never heard the gospel until later on in my life. And so as we think about this work that God has called Paul to, the thing we see about that is that Paul fulfilled it. He was very conscious about that. And we see here, the thing that we find here in the message this morning is that God has called us to a work. And we find in chapter 13 and verse 2, it says this: "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for what? For the work whereunto I have called them.'" So we see that there's a work that they were separated to do. And I believe today that there's a work that God has separated me to do, and He has separated you to do for the cause of Christ. And what is that work? Well, I'll tell you, personally, It's between you and the Lord what that personally is that He's called you to do. He's called me to do what I'm doing. Was a missionary pilot, then a church planner. Now I'm the field representative. I'm more than confident that that's God's will for me and God's work for me at this time. But what He has for you, I'm sure, is not the same as what I'm doing. Love to have you come and join and be part of this, but that may not be the work that God has called you to do. So the question for us all this morning is, Lord, what is the work? What is it that you want me to do or be yielded to you that you can do through me to bring glory to yourself? What is that? Well, we see here that Paul and Barnabas, they were separated for the work. And then in chapter 14 and verse 26 of Acts, we find something interesting here about that work that they were called to do. He says in verse 26 of Acts 14, he says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they what? Which they fulfilled." So whatever that work was that they were called to do in Acts 13, they fulfilled at the end of Acts 14. So this morning, I'd like for us to consider what that work was. But one thing we know about that work that the Spirit of God called these men to do was that they were very conscientious about finishing it, completing it. Look with me, if you would, into 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul was very conscientious about fulfilling that work. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul says this about the work that God had called him to. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." The work that God called Paul to do, he fought a good fight in completing it. And he was anxious about that. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I didn't get derailed. I wasn't hindered to the place where that I couldn't finish the work that God called me to do. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have what? I have kept the faith." You know, trying to serve the Lord is not easy, is it? I don't care if you're here at home or you're on the foreign field. When we stand up to witness for Christ, there's opposition. And we shouldn't be surprised at that. We should be willing to receive that and expect that. Why? Because what we have to say is going contrary to what the world thinks and what the world is being taught. So sure, there's going to be some pushback. But you know what? We shouldn't get discouraged at that. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep proclaiming the gospel. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is going to use to bring conviction upon the hearts of unsaved people in their minds. So they can understand. The first time I heard the gospel, I didn't understand it completely. It was strange to me. But the more I heard it, the more I heard it explained, the more the Spirit worked in me and made it clearer to me what the gospel was and what it was about. It was about a person, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came and gave himself for my sin and died for my sin, was buried, and he rose again. If I receive him as my Savior from my sin, as he was raised from the dead, when I die, I'm going to enter in his presence also, and I may not have to die to do that. He may come back in the rapture. I'd love to be involved in that. Maybe we will. But Paul says, man, he was conscientious about finishing his work. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." The things that Pastor Joe and Faye are about to enter into and experience from the opposition and by going into Bataraza and preaching the gospel, I'm telling you, it'll overwhelm you. As we tried to start the church in Brooks Point, how the adversary works. Pastor Thomas can testify to this. But in spite of it all, we've kept the faith. Trusted God, trusted His promises. And 34 years later, as we look back, we've seen the mighty hand of God at work. I'm thankful that we are doing the work. We're not finished yet. We won't be finished until God calls us home. As Paul says in his time, he said, my departure is at hand. I don't know when that is. You don't know when that is. But until that comes, I want to finish the course, don't you? What God has called me to do. He says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that what? That love His appearing. Hey, there's a reward waiting us as long as we finish the course. And we get to lay that at the Savior's feet to bring glory to Him. So the work. He says in back in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, see how the Holy Spirit was the one who separated them unto that. And Paul was conscientious about completing that work, as we see here in 2 Timothy. And then in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, Paul brings this up again. He says here in verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might what? Finish my course with what? With joy. With joy. And what? And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was God's work for Paul. Was to witness, to testify of the grace of God. For by grace are you saved by faith. It's by grace, isn't it? People need to know that. They need to hear that. It's not by their own works of righteousness. So the work, as we see back here in Acts chapter 13, that Paul and Barnabas were called to, led Paul and Barnabas to different cities and to different countries. We find out that I'll just give you the scripture reference, but in Acts 13, 4 and 5, we see that they went to Seleucia, to Cyprus, to Salamis, 13:6 to Paphos, 13:13 to Perga, Pamphylia, 13:14 Antioch of Pisidia, 13:51 Iconium, 14:6 Lystra, Derbe, 14:25 to Attalia. So the work that they were called to do, that's where they were led to do it. So the question, what was the work that they were separated unto? What was it? And I guess as I think about that, I have to ask my own self this question. I trust you ask yourself this question also. What work has God called me to do? What work has God led you to do? And whatever it is, are we completing it? Are we still on course fulfilling what God has called us to do? Well, what was that? You know, it's kind of interesting as we think about that question here in Acts 13:3. Look what it says here. It says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know that the work would require help. Yeah, the Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas to go and do a work. But that work was going to require help from others. And we see it here, as they said, and as they laid hands and as they prayed. And how your missionaries are dependent upon you to pray for them, as they were prayed for this morning. They need that help, that assistance in remaining faithful and keeping the faith in doing the work that God has called them to do. Well, 13:5 begins to tell us what the work was. Here in verse 5 it says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." So what was one part of the work that God called them to do? Well, they preached the word of God. If there's anything that needs to be taught or preached today, it is the word of God. As our brother was talking about in the Sunday school hour, hey, the entertainment the churches have today, they think that it's arousing people, it's stimulating people, it's really taking them to a higher spiritual level. Brother, if you can't be taken to that place from the hearing and preaching of the word of God, you're not going to get there, except in the flesh, as our brother was talking about. You're here this morning because you want to hear what? The word of God. I hear the word of God. So one thing that they were called to do, the work that they were involved in, was to preach the word. Verse 7 of Acts 13 says, "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to do what? To hear the word of God." That's the thing that's going to change people's lives. Once we get saved, we become a new creature, but then we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord so we can be conformed in the image of Christ. And that conformity is going to come through the reading and teaching and studying of God and memorizing and applying the Word of God to our lives. It's interesting, I was sharing with the pastor yesterday, on our last trip, we were at one of our outreaches called Machiga. You'll see it tonight. After we got done having our service, a man called Pastor Jethro and myself aside and wanted to talk to us. So we took him aside and we talked to him, and here he was, a man who lived 2 or 3 miles down the village road. And he was telling us that there are several families in his village, and they're believers there, but they do not have anyone to teach them the Word of God. So he said, "Pastor Searles, Pastor Jethro, can you send us someone to teach us the Word of God?" And what a request. What a desire. To what? To hear the Word of God. They used to hear it, but the one that was going, giving it to them got off into sin and was no longer able to do that, and they've been without it. Now they desired to what? To hear the Word of God. So the work that the Spirit of God separated Paul and Barnabas here to do, as we see in verse 7 here, was to do what? To go and to proclaim and preach and teach the Word of God. That's the thing that was going to strengthen the body of believers there. While we were there, 34 years ago, I had that plane crash. As I was talking on the radio yesterday and sharing a little bit of that experience. And ever since then, I was praying for the tribal people there at Mount Sarai where I had the plane crash. And each year when I'd go back to Palawan, we'd always travel down the national road heading south down to Sarong to our Muslim work down there. And I knew where Sarai was up in the mountains. But from where we were at the low level to look up, you really couldn't see the village because it was covered by the vegetation, the trees and everything. But as I would go by, I would pray for them. And while I was home, I'd pray for them. And so 34 years went by. I had never been united with that tribe again since that plane crash. Matter of fact, a lot of them thought that I had died in the plane crash. And so when we went back this year, the Lord did a miraculous thing. He allowed me to be united with several of those village peoples at Mount Sarai. And one of the men that I met then was one of the men who led me out of the jungle after I had the plane crash and was bleeding and injured and everything. He was one of them that was still alive today. The other man had died, he was telling me, over the last 34 years. The Lord put us together after 34 years. I came to find out that they had been up there. I met with seven of them. We sat them down. We talked to them. We asked them if they had been saved. All seven of them gave a profession of faith. Now, we're following up on that. But they said that they had made a profession of faith. They told me that after the plane crash, the missionary left their village. They never went back into the village. And my airplane never went back in there. They called my airplane Tatubi. They called it the Dragonfly. So whenever I'd fly around and come in there, here comes Tatubi, the Dragonfly. And they were telling me that the missionary left. And after that, before they left, put the Bibles and stuff in a barrel. And so for 34 years, those Bibles sat in that barrel, and the termites ate the Bibles. But we did find out that back in 2007, someone had been going into them off and on, more off than on, and had been teaching them a little bit, and they desired to hear more of the Word of God. But as a result of our coming together and speaking with them, just last week, Pastor Jethro went up into that tribe with another man from our church to make contact with them, to see what we could do with them. And he called me, I think about 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, which is a 13-hour difference. And I answered the phone, and I knew it was Pastor Jethro. And he says, "Pastor Searles," he says, "guess where I am?" I said, "I know you're not in heaven because I'm still here. I know the rapture hadn't taken place, but anyway," he said, "guess where I am?" I said, "I have no idea where you are. Are you in Greenville? Where are you?" He says, "I'm standing on the runway at Mount Sinai, where you had the plane crash." He said, "I'm up here with these village people, and I'll show you that tonight." And he says, "We finally made it up here and made contact. We're making arrangements for us to be able to come back on a regular basis and teach them the Word of God, because they desire the Word of God." There's 18 families in that village. And so there's two other Palawanu tribes close by that have been abandoned. They're not able to have the Word of God, able to have the Word of God taught to them. So we're looking forward to getting in contact with them. So the Lord, and as a result of that, it's allowed us to have the contact with people in Bhaktarasa. As I said on the radio ministry last night, God, He doesn't sleep, He doesn't slumber, does He? I had no idea what God was doing over the last 34 years in the lives of those people, but God did. And I'm so thankful that He revealed that to us, showed that to us, and now we have the opportunity to go back in and work with these people and give them the Word of God. Why? I believe that's the work that God's called us to do. That's the work that He called Barnabas and Saul to do. Here in verse 38 and 39, of Acts 13. He says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Here they were out preaching the gospel. This is the work that God called them to do. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." You know, some of the tribal people that we go to, they're animist. They're spiritist. They're superstitionists. And through their belief system that they try to work through to help them feel good or think that there's a better tomorrow, whatever it is, none of those systems can give them an eternal hope. Just like the law of Moses. It can't save you. But it can teach you that you're a sinner and that you need the one who's redeemed you. And that's the reason why it's important for us to get to these people with the gospel, so they can have a hope. These people, even though they're animist and spiritist and on, they're tormented day in and day and night. They don't sleep. They're restless. They can't have peace of soul and spirit, alone in their physical bodies, because of the torment they're under by worshiping false gods. So the work of the ministry is taking the glorious gospel, the grace of God, to those who have never heard. What a ministry. Verse 42 says this. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. So here again, what was the work? To preach the word. Give the gospel. That was the work. Simple. And that's what we're all to be engaged in. Due to lack of time here this morning, Acts 14, you can go through it and also see what the work was that God had called them to. But some things I want us to look at just in closing here this morning is, what was the result of the preaching of the Word of God? What was it? Well, we find in Acts 13, 6 through 12, don't have time to read that, where it led to souls being saved. The pastor brought up this morning, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I don't know of any other way for a lost soul to be saved outside of hearing the Word of God. I don't. There's nothing else we can say that can save the Spirit will use to convict them of their sin and draw them to saving knowledge of Christ. It resulted in souls being saved, but along the way there was also opposition, wasn't there? And we don't want to get discouraged at that. We want to stay in the work. Keep serving the Lord. Opposition is there. We accept that. We'll receive that, and we'll trust God in it. That's just part of the ministry. Now, people were healed as a result of Acts 14, verses 8 through 10. People were healed as obedient to the word. There was persecution, and also there was strengthening of the churches in Acts 14, verses 21 through 28. As a result of them going and doing the work the Spirit of God called them to do, preaching the word and teaching the word, and the saints were built up in the most holy faith. Like you are here in this local church when you come. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, and special meetings. When the Word of God is opened up, man, we're built up in the faith. Why? Because we're hearing the Word of God. So as we think about to the work, question I've had to ask myself over and over again and keep my mind in tune with it, and that is, what is my work? What has God called me to do? If I know what that is, am I doing it? And am I doing it wholeheartedly for the glory of God? And am I completing it? Is that my desire, to complete it until Jesus comes? You know, there's been times when the Lord's given us a ministry and we had completed it, and He called us off to another ministry. But the glory of that was, we finished the one that He called us to. Then we moved on to another one. That's His business. But wherever God has you, are you doing that work? Are you willing to complete, even though the opposition is there? What is my work? What is your work? You know, one thing, it can only be done by the indwelling Spirit and the grace of God. The things that we see the Lord doing, I'll show you the new church building tonight. You'll be amazed. 31 years ago, we started out in a little Nipah hut, two families. We outgrew it real quick. And so we would find another building on Main Street, an old grain place, and had to empty it out and had the front doors open and had a light or two and different things, and we outgrew it. And we found, in the process, Pastor Joe and his wife and family got kicked out of their house because they were starting another church in town. But God was gracious. He provided another building where in the back of it there was a place for them to live. And the church and the parsonage was there, so to speak. And after many years, the Lord filled it up. Now we torn it all down and we built a new building. You'll be amazed what you're going to see tonight after 31 years, what the Lord has done and is continuing to do. We have our Bible Institute that we're getting started. We got a new building for it. And just a lot of exciting things to do. But to the work. To the work. Can God use you? Yes, He can. Is He using you? That's the question. Is He using you? Are you allowing Him to use you? Or, as my wife was talking about last night, fear. fear is number one enemy to us, isn't it? It'll hinder us from really stepping out by faith and trusting God, standing on His promises. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, has He? But of power and love and of what? Of a sound mind. Have the likeness of our minds in tune with the Lord.